This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. When thieves stole Patrick Sims' locked bicycle from a busy Manhattan street in broad daylight, he snapped. He watched over and over again the grainy surveillance tape of a pair of guys in hoodies methodically making off with his blue Novara Metro hybrid. He fantasized about finding them and plotted a vendetta that never came to pass. Well, seven bikes and three cities later, Patrick has finally gotten a revenge of sorts. He's now an expert on what becomes of the 1 million plus bikes stolen each year in America. His article, Who Pinched My Ride, is a feature in the latest issue of Outside Magazine, where he is contributing editor. And Patrick Sims joins us now on the line from pretty much Bike City, USA, Portland, Oregon. Patrick, welcome.
Good to be here.
Well, let's start at the beginning. First of all, I have to say, I feel your pain. I've lost a few. I want to start at the beginning with bike number one, which was actually captured on video in Manhattan. How'd they manage to do it?
Well, that was what really got me started, is because it was captured on a surveillance camera on West 44th Street. I was able to study their technique. And the most interesting thing to me was that they were fairly organized. It was two guys in disguise as bike messengers. They didn't actually have bikes. They were there to get mine. And in broad daylight, in front of 144 witnesses, they managed to just look like they were kind of working on their bike, and they had some tools. And what they were actually doing was beating my lock to death and trying every which way they could to kill it. And it took them 17 minutes in broad daylight on one of the busiest streets in New York City.
And nobody did anything.
But one guy, the number 144, actually tried to grab them. But he was a little old man, and he's the only one who was a hero in my book. But they got away. It was just when they got the lock free. So that set me off on this crusade to figure out what is it that these guys are getting away with. And we've all felt that pain. I think, you know, bicycling is something, it's incredibly popular now. It's up 100% in the last 7 years in New York City, and the same all over the country, here in Portland and many cities. It's just incredible growth. But the stealing of bikes is the number one reason people are reluctant to do this, because it forces you to carry one, two, even three locks if you live in a high-crime area like a campus.
Well, that's the crazy thing, Patrick. I mean, you know, bikes have become, you know, they weigh like 6 pounds now. They've become so high-tech, so many changes and evolutions in bicycles. But why don't heavy-duty locks work?
Well, you know, the truth I found with my experiments of seven different bicycles is the locks do work. But if they can't break your lock, they'll steal your wheels. If they can't steal your wheels, they'll take your seat. If they can't get the seat, they'll take the handlebars or the brake pads or whatever they can get. And the reason is we're dealing with some pretty desperate characters. It's very rare that these are, you know, the police I talked to estimated that 90% of the thieves are drug addicts. Mm-hmm. And what they need is a fix. So their life is determined by the next 20 minutes. What can they get off your bike, turn it into cash? And until we deal with that problem, you know, I think bike locks can get fancier. We can counterattack with different technologies. We can be more careful. But the bike thieves are evolving themselves and always figure out a new way to attack locks, whether it's, well, I don't want to name all the different ways.
Right.
There's no sense tipping them off, but
exactly. There's
quite a few ways.
Well, how about the police? Are they any help when it comes to stolen bikes?
You know, it depends a lot on the department and whether the police officers in that department are riders themselves. So I found in New York, there was very little sympathy, and I was told repeatedly not even to report my bike as stolen. Whereas here in Portland, when the police found out what I was doing, where I was using these GPS trackers to sort of bait a bike and set it out and try to watch for a thief, and it gives you the ability actually to track the stolen bicycle live on the internet. And when the police found out what I was doing, they got very excited, and they sent six officers, they sent basically the entire robbery squad to help me do stakeouts and try to catch bike thieves.
Well, okay, so what you uncovered was this huge criminal market for stolen bicycles, estimated about $350 million a year. We're talking shipping containers full of stolen bicycles. Crazy. Now, tell us the sort of typical path of a stolen bicycle. Do they land in chop shops? Are they used for metal? Are they made into bicycles? What's the story?
The majority are quickly recycled back into this so-called used bike economy. So that means within hours of a bike getting stolen, it may be listed on Craigslist or eBay. It may be for sale in a pawn shop, say right outside city limits where the reporting requirements aren't very strict. many are, you know, are sold, the majority are sold as quickly as possible because the thief wants to get rid of the evidence and turn it into cash. There's places, however, where it's much more open and shameless. In San Francisco, right on, you know, dead center in the middle of downtown San Francisco on Market Street, there's an open-air bike market where they're selling bikes at a rate of about one a minute. And they're all stolen.
In fact, you bought one there. You bought a $700 bike for how much?
$125.
Amazing.
And the police detective in San Francisco told me, oh, you pay too much.
We're talking about the seamy and surprisingly broad-reaching underworld of bicycle thieves. Our guest is a victim of multiple bike thefts, some that he actually set up and staging to infiltrate the underbelly of two-world crime. His name is Patrick Sims. He documented his story for Outside Magazine in a feature called Who Pinched My Ride? Well, let's go through some of these setups that you did. You said you bought another bike in San Francisco. You installed a GPS tracker on this one? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, that's right. These are small units, you know, about the size of a pack of gum with a sort of the love child of a cell phone and a GPS unit. So you can actually call into the unit and get a response from it saying where it is. With the software that, for example, companies like Garmin put on the web, you can look at it live on the web or track it on your phone. So I would bait one of these bicycles, put it out on the curb here in Portland, and, you know, within 2 hours it got stolen because I went to the place. It's the red hot center of bike thieving in Portland. And boom, it goes off, and I could literally just sit there on my laptop watching the guy pedal slowly across Portland. And in the end, after about half an hour, I saw he was sort of circling around up and down the waterfront, and I got worried, oh, he's trying to sell it, because he was going very slowly back and forth up the waterfront. Jumped in a taxi, raced over there, and I thought, oh, I'll never find the particular guy, how accurate this could be. I stepped out of the taxi and almost knocked the guy off my bicycle. He was so close. And he sort of looked up, and I started a conversation with him, and he turned out to be, you know, crazy as a loon.
Yeah.
You know, not one of these. I had sort of been having these revenge fantasies, or I'm going to catch the worst bike thief ever. But a lot of these people are helpless victims themselves, even though they're victimizing us. And I, you know, there's a limit to my sympathy. The guy stole my bike. But in the end, I just talked to him, and I showed him, hey, look, you notice I'm carrying a helmet, but I don't have a bicycle. You have a bicycle and no helmet. We must get together, right? And I showed him it's my bike, and he just gave it back to me. So I suppose that, you know, that's a good result in the end. If we use, you know, we could track our bikes. These things are getting cheaper. You can get one that's shaped like the little reflector that goes on the back of a bicycle. So it is a help in finding a stolen bike if you're keep it all charged up and ready to go. But it's a scary thing to be out there in this world of thieves, crazy people, drug addicts, guys who sell bikes for stolen bikes for a living, or, you know, they don't want to be stopped. So the best advice is always to figure out where your stolen bike is.
Yeah.
Call the police and tell them.
Well, that's what you say, but you didn't always pay attention to that. You know, you write, in fact, that in America's rough streets, there are four forms of currency: cash, sex, drugs, and bicycles. I mean, this stuff can get very hairy. How about for the biker? Any big advice? I mean, one, you know, you can put a GPS tracker on your bicycle. Others, about just locking your bike?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The best advice I ever saw on this came from David Byrne, the musician. And he wrote a quirky book about it, about bicycling. And in the last page, he says, put lock nuts on the front wheel. That's the hex nuts, some kind of special nut up there so that they can't be removed easily with a quick release. Use a lock that's a good U-lock, not too big a one, but a really high-quality one. And also, his advice, unfortunately, was probably you want to buy a cheap bike because sooner or later it's going to get stolen. And I hate to concede that point. I don't like to be resigned to this. We all love a beautiful bike. It's the age of expensive bicycles. But in the end, his advice, at least from David Byrne, is buy a cheap bike.
Well, that's what I've done, I have to say. What is it, though, Patrick, about a stolen bicycle that inspires such deep feelings of sadness and loss?
Well, you know, I call it the last of the 1970s style ripoff. It's a fairly, you know, it's a personal crime. This is your ride. This is like the way horse thieving used to be. You know, they used to send people posses out to catch horse thieves. Well, I've met bicycle mechanics in shops. They wear shirts that say bike thieves shot on sight. And I hope they're not literally going to do that, but it is, you know, bicycles have this sort of innocent, good quality feeling to us from our childhood. they represent a lot of the aspirations we have in this society to change how we organize things and our carbon footprint and deal with all sorts of issues. You know, it's easy to get excited about the possibilities for urban planning and so on. But at the same time, this is the number one problem we face in transforming into a society that lives that way. If your bike's getting stolen, you have to carry three locks or an 11-pound chain like I do. It really cuts into the pleasure of it.
Not to mention the horrible sight of a fence post with a broken chain in front of it and no bicycle.
I cry every time I see one.
Oh, Patrick, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Patrick Sims, contributing editor for Outside Magazine. You can find a link to his article in Outside called Who Pinched My Ride? As well as some tips for keeping your two-wheeler secure. That's all at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, what's next after the Hubble?